Part of our job in the Church of Jesus Christ is to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. We are to bring people together, not blow them apart. In your notes, the fact is, though, the world is filled with broken relationships. Everybody wants to agree with that? The world is filled with broken relationships. You are going to be hurt in life. In fact, you have already been hurt, and I'm sorry. You have been hurt by what people have said about you, or by what people thought about you, or by what people have done to you, emotionally, physically, verbally, financially. Many of you carry deep wounds from hurts of the past, from parents, partner, or peer, and even professionals. Somebody in your life wounded you deeply. As someone who cares about you, you're going to have to let go of those hurts. You're going to have to learn to let go of the past. But that's not an easy thing to do. The fact is, in your notes, there's only one antidote. There's only one antidote to painful memories. Write this down: forgiveness. There's no other options. Nothing else can set you free from the past except forgiveness. Offering forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, accepting forgiveness. If you want to get on with your life, if you want to be happy in life, you're going to have to learn to let go of the past hurts that you had. There's so much faulty thinking, however, about forgiveness. Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. In your notes, forgiveness is instant. Forgiveness is instant. Trust, however, is rebuilt over time. Forgiveness is by grace, and therefore it is instant. Trust is by works, and therefore takes time. When somebody hurts you, you have to forgive them. In fact, you are commanded by God to forgive. In a minute, we'll talk about the three reasons why we have to do that. But you don't have to trust them instantly. They've lost your trust. And trust has to be rebuilt over and over and over. Some of you have been hurt badly by somebody that you love. And the thought of offering forgiveness to that person, a parent or an ex or a friend, the thought of offering forgiveness to that person is almost unthinkable. Today we want to look at three questions. First, why should I forgive? Why? Secondly, where do I get the power to forgive? And thirdly, how do I do it? So why should I forgive? In your notes, A, reason number one. In your notes, I have to forgive people who hurt me because God has forgiven me. In fact, the number one reason to forgive someone who has hurt me is because God has forgiven me. Just look at Ephesians 4:22. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So in your notes, the fact that you will never have to forgive, the fact is that you will never have to forgive more than God has forgiven you. And God forgives completely. God forgives unconditionally. God forgives constantly and persistently. God forgives you even when you don't know you're blowing it yet. God forgives you and he wipes it out when you put your trust in Jesus. And you accept that Jesus, he paid for all your sins on the cross. God just wipes them all out. You will never have to forgive anybody more than God has already forgiven you. But you really want to know why you have a hard time? Why you're having a hard time forgiving other people? The problem is, in your notes, when you don't feel forgiven, then you do not feel forgiving. When you do not feel God's grace, then you don't feel like being gracious to anybody else. The number one reason you have a hard time, personally, letting go of hurts, is because you do not feel forgiven. Because when you experience the forgiveness of God, once you understand how much, how totally, how completely God has already forgiven you, you just start being a whole lot more forgiving to other people. Until, however, that happens in your life, and you accept the forgiveness of Jesus, you're going to have a hard time letting go of your hurts. Reason number two, I have to forgive. I have to forgive people who hurt me, and you know it's because resentment doesn't work. Resentment is self-defeating. Resentment is self-destructive. In the Bible, there was this guy by the name of Job. He lost everything in a single day. Terrorists came in, killed all of his kids, stole all of his cattle, ruined his crop. On top of that, he got a terrible disease. Everything went wrong. Now, if anybody had a right to be bitter and resentful, Job did. But look what Job said in Job 5, verse 2. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, a senseless thing to do. And you know, resentment is unreasonable. It's illogical. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense. It's foolish. It's unreasonable. In fact, when we fill our lives with resentment, we do really dumb things. If you ever seen an angry person in public, they make fools of themselves. When you get resentful, you immediately lose 50% of your IQ. Resentment makes us look foolish. I've watched this theology show on television. It's called The Three Stooges. Curly was upset with Moe. Moe was hitting him on the chest. And every time he would slap Curly on the chest, he would get more and more upset. Curly decides to get back, the payback. He gets even with Moe by strapping dynamite to his own chest to blow Moe's hands off the next time he slaps him. See, in your nose, resentment does not hurt the other person, it hurts you. When you're sitting around and you're upset with someone who has hurt you 10 years ago, and you're stewing about it, you're spewing about it, you are hurting yourself. They may not even be thinking about it, but it just keeps you in pain. That's dumb. You're allowing people who have hurt you in the past to continue to hurt you in the present. Simply by rehearsing your hurts over and over and over. That's pretty stupid. Look at what Job says in Job 18, verse 4. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. And you know, resentment then is unhelpful. First, it's unreasonable, but it certainly is unhelpful. It always hurts you more than the other person that you're upset with. You are miserable. In fact, they say the most unhappy people are bitter people. Look at Job 21. He writes, some men stay healthy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Research has shown that the most unhealthy emotion known to human beings is bitterness. So in your notes, resentment is also unhealthy. When you hold resentment in your hearts, it's like taking cancer into your heart. It's like taking fire into your chest. Doctors tell us that 50% of the people in hospitals right now could go home if they knew how to get rid of their guilt and get rid of their resentment, because that's the source of their pain. Either guilt, the things that I feel guilty about doing to others, or resentment, the things other people have done to me. See, God did not make our bodies to carry around guilt and resentment. People are so concerned, you know, today about eating healthy. Well, that's good. But if they don't get rid of resentment, it's not what you eat that matters the most. It's what's eating you. When you have resentment in your heart, it's eating you alive. Resentment is unreasonable. It's unhelpful. It's unhealthy. You have to let it go. But you're saying, Pastor, I just cannot do that. In your notes, secondly, where do I get the power? Where do I get the power to let go of my hurt? And that's a pretty big question. When you say it just hurts too much, I just cannot forgive them. You know what? You're absolutely right. You can. There's only one source of forgiveness. And you know that source is Jesus. You don't have enough love in your heart to let go of all the hurt that you're experiencing in life. And that's why you need Jesus. You cannot humanly manufacture enough forgiveness to handle all the times that you're going to be misused or abused or hurt in life. You can't. You've got to have a bigger source. You've got to have an unlimited source of forgiveness. So look at 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous, glorious excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. If only you get to know Jesus better, if only you seek to know Jesus more and more, then you grow to become a person with divine nature. You get ability to forgive and make peace with those who do not even deserve it. You have been hurt. Many of you have been hurt very deeply. As somebody who loves you, I'm telling you, you have to let it go. Thirdly, in your notes, see three steps to help you learn how to forgive. Number one, relinquish my right to get even. And that's the heart of forgiveness. You have to let them go scot-free. But you say, hey, that's not fair. Who said forgiveness ever is fair? Was it fair for God to forgive you? Don't you deserve to be punished for the sins that you have done? But God does not forgive you give you what you deserve. God gives you what you need, and it's a pure act of God's grace. Look at Romans 12:19. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who deserve it. See, God is a just God. You let God, who is just, who never hurt anybody, never done anything wrong, and you let God be the impartial judge. So God says, relinquish your right to get even. Look at Matthew 18, where Peter asks, Lord, just how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. In other words, forgiveness is continue. Forgiveness is never a one-shot deal. If it really hurts, then it's got to be repeated over and over and over. And this is so important. And here's how it works in your notes. Every time you remember, you're hurt. You have to release it. You remember it, you release it. You remember it, you release it. It's not a one-time shot. But the devil keeps bringing it back just to hurt you more. But every time you remember it, you what? Release it. So how do you know when you have totally released it? It doesn't hurt anymore. But each time you remember, you must keep forgiving them. And this is key in your notes. Every time you rehearse your hurt, you just make it deeper. Each time you're rehearsing it, you deepen it. But in your notes, every time you release your hurt, you make it weaker. Rehearse it, it gets deeper. Release it, it gets weaker. I relinquish my right to get even. In your notes, number two, you must refocus on God's purpose for my life. Number one, relinquish my right to get even. Number two, refocus on what, not on the pain, but on God's purpose. Look at Job 11. He says, put your heart right, reach out to God. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more. In your notes, you don't focus on the hurts, but you focus on the hope. You do not let the past control you. You focus on the hope that God gives for your future. Also, in your notes, don't focus on the pain. You focus on the purpose. Whatever you focus on is going to control you. If you want God and His purpose for your life controlling you, then you have got to let go of the past. And why is this so important? You're not going to like this, but write it down anyway. If you don't release them, then you will start to resemble them. Because whatever you're focusing on, you're going to become like. If you don't release them, you will start to resemble them. Like, I'm never going to be like my mother. Oh, yeah? I'm never going to be like my dad. Oh, yeah? Job tells us to do two things that in your notes. Step one, do the right thing. Put your heart right and forgive them. Release them. Why? Because God has forgiven you. And resentment just doesn't work. And step two, you ask Jesus to come in. Reach out to God. You need to say, Jesus, I need you to fill me with your love and with your forgiveness. Look at Luke 6, verse 27 and 28. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So this is the real test. Can you pray for those who hurt you? Can you pray that God would bless them? That is the step that says you're now in control. They're no longer controlling your life. So relinquish your right to get even. Refocus on God's purpose for your life. And number three in your notes, respond. Respond to evil with good. So I respond to the evil in my life with good. Look at Romans 12 where Paul writes, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. You need to memorize this verse when you confront that store clerk this week who's a jerk. You don't overcome evil with criticizing them. You don't change the world by criticizing it. You overcome evil with good. So you promote reconciliation. In conclusion, the big word, reconciliation, simply means to make peace. If a husband and wife reconcile, they make peace with each other. When two nations reconcile, they reconcile and they stop having war against each other. This is a part of our lives too as followers of Jesus. In your notes, we are to be agents of reconciliation. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Please read it with me together out loud. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Three steps to let go of my hurts. Relinquish my right to get even. Refocus on God's purpose. And number three, respond to evil with good. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.